Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters, May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to Concussion Talk Podcast. Before my great chat with my guest, who is the smart and motivated CEO and founder of Vistendo, Isabel Gutierrez, I want to first thank my sponsor, HeadCheck Health. HeadCheck Health bridges gaps in concussion care through simple, powerful technology. Join organizations like the Canadian Football League, Track Factory Racing, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, Eastern Washington University, and Volleyball Canada, who rely on HeadCheck to improve communication and optimize care. Visit HeadCheckHealth.com for more. Please visit my website and my other advertisers. My website, concussiondoc.com. And please subscribe, rate, review wherever you get your podcast. You can follow me on social media at Concussion Doc. So it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And if you're in St. John's area, please join us, the Newfoundland Labrador Brain, Newfoundland and Labrador Brain Injury Association, on June 3rd at Byron Park by collecting donations to pledge support for the association and for help raise brain injury awareness. So that's June 3rd at Byron Park. So please join us. Thank you. And now here's my interview with Isabel Gutierrez. Okay, welcome to Concussion Talk Podcast, episode 155. And I'm talking to Isabel Gutierrez, make sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I assume I am. And I didn't ask her beforehand, even though we talked briefly beforehand, but Isabel Gutierrez is correct. And
yeah.
Good. Okay. And she's yet a very interesting story, but I guess first off, tell us about she's the CEO of Vistendo, who is a concussion product and brain diagnostic tool. So can you tell us more about Vistendo, the company you founded?
Yeah, sure. So Vistendo is really focused on ending human suffering. And what we mean by that is physical, mental, and emotional suffering. We first started with concussions because, personally, my sister suffered from one. And, there's over 4 million youth athletes that get a concussion each year and really risk permanent brain damage due to delayed or lack of diagnosis. So what we're doing here at Vistendo is a couple things, but the one focused on concussion is we've created a patent-pending device that integrates current hospital-approved concussion tests into a portable device for athletes to use. So it runs three objective tests. We have pupillometry, so we're checking your pupil size and your reaction to light, and ocular motor, how your eyes are moving in accordance to different lights, and then vestibular ocular reflex, which measures how eyes move when the head is moved. And so all of this together has been around since at least the 1960s. And what we're doing is we're combining it all into a portable device so that you can use it on the field.
Wow, that sounds good. And you are, that's very expensive, because I've talked to someone who does it, the virtual reality. Is it virtual reality? Is that part of it, or is that just part of your own device there? Is it?
Yeah, so it's very similar to what a virtual reality headset looks like.
Okay.
And then we use our own
patented
types of electronics to do that.
Yeah. Cool. So I was just, as I was saying to you beforehand, that I read your story on LinkedIn, and your story is just remarkable. So tell us about it. Did you say you mentioned it, asked your friend if you had any concussions. You said you did not do no, which means who knows what it means, but sorry, nothing major you've noticed. And but your sister has, or sorry, you looked about to say something. So I'm
No, go ahead.
gonna... Okay. Your sister has had several or one big one, or like, and I forget the exact if it was several or just one issue, is really affected by the symptoms. So do you tell us more about your sister and your very extensive, yet very short background?
Yeah, so I grew up playing soccer. Come from a family whose soccer was a huge part of our life. I played for over 10 years, headed the ball a lot.
Yeah.
That I know of, I have no concussions, but wouldn't be surprised if I do.
Exactly.
And my sister followed my same path. She played soccer for many years as well. When I was in college, I was at one of her games where she turned around and got hit right on the back of the head,
Oh, yeah.
right where the neck meets the head. She
Wow.
went down, was down for about 30 seconds. She got back up and she kind of
Unconscious.
walked out. She doesn't remember, so we're pretty sure she fell unconscious, but she never stayed down for that long enough for people to really worry about it. So she walked off and that was pretty much it. Up until that point, we knew concussions happened. It was kind of part of the game, but it was never a huge, huge problem. It was never a huge thing. It was kind of, the equivalent of spraining your ankle. And she went on with her life. I went on with my life for about a couple weeks. She complained about, her head hurting. She couldn't focus at school. And her symptoms just got worse and worse until a couple weeks later, we finally took her to the doctor, and that's when they told us that she had suffered from a pretty bad concussion.
Wow. So, and you're doing engineering at Cal Poly Pomona at the time.
Yeah, so at that time I was studying mechanical engineering at Cal Poly Pomona. I wasn't really involved in that many sports, playing more intramural sports, and I was also working as a certified first responder at our university gym,
Right.
kind of seeing the other side of the injuries and getting to treat that. And that's when my sister suffered from her concussion. I think up until that point, we never really took it seriously.
Yeah.
And after she got diagnosed, I think that's when I started to really understand how serious a concussion could be, especially when it goes undiagnosed and untreated for that long.
Yeah, I mean, I never took brain injury concussions seriously until I had one. So it's unfortunately, and then mine, which time is back in 03, so it's a while ago now. But just to go share that, a lot of times you just people just don't think about things that have happened to them or to their families, someone they're close to. But what do you then when you found out she had a concussion, you're doing it during your second year, first year?
At that point, I was finishing my second year.
And you decided that you wanted to do more research in this or do more work in or want to work in this. Could you explain how that evolved?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, at that point, was finally under kind of my first intro to the medical world. Up until that point, I had never shown any interest in it. I was studying mechanical engineering. Those fields don't tend to overlap that much. And I re started to really realize at that point how difficult it is to express or even diagnose an injury that's all internal. It's very easy when you're bleeding out or when you have a broken bone, but when everything's internal and you're relying on the person to really let you know how serious it is, it's very difficult. And as an athlete, you're pretty much in the mindset of you're going to go until you literally can't walk, because your competitive side takes over. You're in a game. There are situations where you just kind of push through the pain, and it's really difficult to know really the difference between soreness and an injury. And you know, when everything's internal, like a concussion, it's even more difficult to really express how serious it's affecting you. And it's all kind of reliant on you expressing that and people believing what you're saying and not dismissing it. So that's when I really started to understand the difficulty and that you know, there was nothing really there to help, especially youth athletes who are really, you're starting out playing just to be healthy and have fun. You may or may not go professional. Most of the time you aren't. And getting such a serious injury so early on can really have lifelong effects, and affect you in all parts of your life. So it actually took me about let's say 1 year and a half before I decided to really do something about it. And I started to research. I read any paper that I could on concussions and concussions in sports and what was being done in this field to help detect it, because it is one of the most difficult injuries to detect, because you're relying on all subjective symptoms, and that's really hard to quantify. And I started to read more about it and decided to do something about it and create some sort of technology that could help, because I noticed that there really wasn't any sort of technology available to the consumer market that could help in these situations. You know, athletic trainers aren't equipped with any sort of technology for this, so I decided to make my own, and that's kind of where my path started. And the more I read about it and the more people I talked to, I realized that this was a huge thing that needed to be solved, and I needed to help in any way that I could.
So you knew that just your background, mechanical engineering background lent itself to developing these devices. Did you have to learn about like the obviously the science side of it, the medical side of like the pupil areas, like how your eyes work, or would you have been a really double separate degree, almost a
Yeah,
neurosurgery degree?
so yeah, the engineering definitely helped me on the tech side. Because I was studying mechanical engineering, I had to learn a lot of electrical engineering, software engineering, a lot of programming. And I knew nothing about the medical field. I think I took one biology class and one chemistry class, and that was it. That's where I really had to dive deep. I started to study as much as I could. I picked up the MCAT books, trying to understand, you know, how the brain works and how everything's connected, and to really understand what is happening internally and how can we detect that. So yeah, I had to study a lot on the medical side, because I was really, really lacking on that. And I continue to learn because it's not something that I majored in or have any sort of background in. So it's definitely been a big learning curve for me.
But you've hired the right people who do know some stuff about the biology behind it, the chemistry behind it. I know because when I developed a degree in my undergrad, and I know that's how that helped me just doing physio, just to recognize that, oh yeah, this muscle to get here, and this muscle does this, and probably why, and I have some general idea of why we do that. So, and that's just an undergrad degree. So I know, like, I'm sure you're doing a engineering degree, which I have a lot of friends have done the engineering degree as well. So, and I know that there's a lot of different components. And I actually have a friend here who had a brain injury, who is now a physio, but wasn't a chemical engineer, and did do wasn't a science a health company in Ohio when she was brain injured. She was doing as a chemical engineer, but she was doing, I think, working on pacemakers or something like that, or like a maybe really a defib, but it's kind of blending the two. And so you're kind of doing that, you're kind of blending the chemical engineering with analogy like computer with stay and chemical with or both geez, I meant biological anyway, blah blah, keep going on with this, but yeah, they combine those two technologies for two areas of study into one. And also you had to get a business sort of business sense of where this thing may be needed and why. And so could you explain how like How do I explain? Talk about how the business end came to the business end, because it's about you, about concussions, but like how it became apparent to you that there was a need and people were willing to just do to spend money to do work in this area. So.
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think along with the medical side, I also had to understand if this was really a need and what people out there actually needed. I wasn't going to create something that had been done before or wasn't needed at all. And so
Yeah.
along with studying on the medical side, I really started to talk to as many people as I could. That had either gone through a concussion, had played sports, had kids in sports. I talked to a lot of athletic trainers to really understand, what was needed. I think from all these conversations and my own experience, I really started to understand that what was needed was some sort of technology that could help on the objective side. And we
Yeah.
have the Scat5 where it does a great job of kind of collecting as much as it could. But talking to a lot of athletes that had gone through concussions, one of the main things was, it was hard for them to quantify how serious it was for them. And a lot of the time they could try or they tried to get away with faking that they were fine in order to, go back to play. And,
Yeah.
it's difficult, especially in the heat of the moment, to take that pause and focus on your future and say, you know what, I'm not going to return to this game
Yeah.
because
Yeah.
it's difficult, especially with the pressure of the game, the coaches,
Yeah.
the parents, and all of that. As an athlete,
And if you're
you
young
really want to
too.
play.
And if you're
Yeah,
young,
exactly. You think you're invincible. You think, nah, it's fine for now. Nothing can affect me.
Need Robert.
Exactly. After talking to a lot of athletic trainers that, they told me that something that could help them understand objectively what was going on with that athlete to give them kind of that second look at someone would be ideal. And so that's where I really started to see, and kind of put together what type of product I was going to create because I had done all the on the research on the medical side, understanding, what could be done, what sort of tests were being done. What was kind of the limitation there? The limitation on the engineering side, of course, on the technology side, and pushing that limitation, and then making sure that this product was going to be useful. I wanted to create something that was easy to use, portable, could be used in all weather conditions, because as an athlete, you play rain, mud, everything, snow, except if it, the only thing that's going to stop you is lightning. So it needed to be able to,
Even if send lightning.
To kind of push all these conditions and be there and be quick. It needs to be fast because you're in the middle of a game. You need it to be very quick and let you know. It can't take 30 minutes. It needs to be usable by athletic trainers. So that's where it really started to kind of shape into what was needed and what sort of technology I was going to create.
So you kind of camp out this idea when you were in your fourth year, like your last year in engineering, and
Yeah.
just admitted that you just came up with a prototype, or how did that work? Did you, because Vicenda started like right after you graduated, or didn't it? Like,
Yeah, so I actually was on a 5-year course. So it was I started thinking about doing all my research in my fourth year, in like March or something like that of 2018. And it actually didn't become a concrete thing until October 2018, when I actually started the company, founded it. And so I spent about a year and a half in school and doing the company. And our first step was really to create a prototype that we could show what we were saying could actually be done. So we spent about a year doing that until creating our first prototype and kind of our proof of concept to show that our technology was capable and getting interest from different people and crafting it to make sure that all the feedback that I had been hearing about was being fused into this prototype.
That's impressive. That's fair. So you were still doing obviously tough coursework. I know my friends in engineering didn't have an easy time going through with their courses. I mean, it's rigorous and not the same school, but same degree. And so I, because actually you reached out to me. First of all, I look back on our messages, and the first time was in 2018, so I was just finished. Started, so thanks, and I'm so sorry that I apologize again that it's been like what 5 years now since I've almost 5 years, not quite 5 years since I've gone back to you. But in that time, you had the Stendo is now, when did that officially, when was that officially established, the Stendo as a company?
Yeah, so it was established October 2018 is when I
Okay.
officially founded it. And since, yeah, it's been a couple years, which
Wow.
is crazy to think, and we've definitely grown and
Yeah,
expanded since
definitely.
then. Yeah.
So who, so you see, and you, I saw on your website, which is thestendo.com. I don't want to say that's wrong, but thestendo.com, check it out. And on that page, you mentioned that you're in several schools. So what have been the results in the way, who are not schools, just leagues, so youth leagues or maybe schools, I can't remember really. So what, who are you demonstrating this product with? Who has begun to beta testing this product?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yeah, so we're doing a couple things in that sense. We're right now doing a clinical study at Johns Hopkins University with their Brain Injury Outcome Center
Nice.
to use our device on neurological patients to show that our device is equivalent to the gold standards that they use in their clinics. So that's we've been doing in that, which is been going fantastic. And
Nice.
that's something that we're really excited about.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I think in 2019, we actually won a grant with the US Defense Health Agency to use our device on military service members. Because it was very interesting, I learned kind of a year and a half in that the military has very similar situations to
Yeah.
athletes. They need something that's portable, usable on the field. Obviously, their field is a little bit more extreme, but
The lightning doesn't matter.
yeah,
Even the lightning will
the
blow back, yeah.
lightning for them. So You know, we started working with them in, you know, that work has expanded into a phase two to really take our device and use it as a TBI assessment for them. So we're doing that as well. And, you know, we will also work on the kind of the device comes with an app as well to really help understand the whole as an athlete, not only just the objective side. And that's been, you know, being beta tested by Cal Poly Pomona athletes. And, you know, we're making sure that everything that we create is usable by athlete and athletic trainers, and that it's something that, you know, is constantly being shaped to make sure that what we create is going to help the most.
Wow, this is all very impressive. So your state gets jobs here, as we've said a million times, you have an engineering degree. So what have you learned about traumatic brain injury, not just from your sister, but I mean, you learned the emotional and the physical and the individual symptoms of it, but also we've learned about the condition itself, the injury itself. We've learned about that surprised you, or that's remarkable to you.
Yeah, I think I had a very limited understanding of concussions and brain injuries as a whole. I always thought, you know, they affect you a little bit. You get headaches, you know, because you got nailed in the head by a ball or by a head. And in a couple of weeks, you're pretty much fine. That was pretty much all I knew about concussions before I started. And then the more I read into it, I think the thing that has impressed or been
impressing,
shocking to me is how deep this injury can go and how severe it can get, and all of the ways that it can impact you. Not only physically, but mentally and emotionally as well. And it's really all hidden. A lot of the times if the brain injuries don't have any physical side of it, and it's only affecting you mentally and emotionally, you're pretty much battling it alone. And that's very scary for me to think that, you know, there's a ton of people out there, especially with brain injuries that go undiagnosed just because, you know, you don't know. You think it's normal that your head hurts, and you start to suffer in things that, you know, whether it's your memory or the way you respond to things, and you have no idea that it's connected to that brain injury you suffered 2 weeks ago. And so that's, for me, that's one of the scariest things to think of, is that there's a bunch of youth athletes out there suffering silently, not knowing that they suffered a brain injury. Continuing to play and putting themselves at risk at suffering from another head injury or brain injury that's going to affect them later on. And I've talked to a lot of athletes that have gone through 4 or 5 concussions, and only now, when they've, you know, when they're in college or past that, are they really starting to understand the impact of all those brain injuries and how that's affecting them in their daily life. And I think we have to do something to help, and I'm trying to help in any way that I can.
Well, you're doing a great job. So I always say, like, I had my range is very severe and just couldn't be overlooked because I was in a coma. So I couldn't really be overlooked, but also I had some major physical injuries from it. Like, my balance was often, but I mean, If that wasn't the case, my speech could be like it is now, and my balance could be. I'm kind of lucky that I had such obvious physical deficits from my brain injury that I've been on that deficit, but like deficits compared to where I was physically. But yeah, I just find that so, like you're saying, like a lot of people just get hit in the head, and it's not major. It's not if you attend the hospital, then like. Don't get knocked out there. They can walk fine. Their balance is fine. But then, like 2 weeks later, they'll be tired. But all of a sudden, they'll be emotional about something they normally aren't. And it's remarkable how deep this injury, like you said, as you said, how deep it goes. So, but on your side, this is just kind of personal interest. Do you still play soccer?
I
Still.
do for fun. I do for
Yeah.
fun, but I also play now beach flag football.
Beach
So
flag?
beach flag football, yeah.
That's a California thing. So,
Yes, it's a very California thing.
Well, I guess it just flag. It's like a hippie. You probably do get it inadvertently because there's a lot of these, like how many people on a field of beach flag? How many people play per game? Is it a
I
league
believe
or is
it's
it
like,
just a...
yeah, it's a recreational league. It's called Beach City Sports, and
That
it's
sounds
about, I
fun.
think it's 7-on-7 or
Well,
something like that. 8-on-8,
that's
yeah.
of the lots over the opportunity to get hit by a mistake. Sounds like a lot of fun though. Do you play this totally this does nothing to do with the question, but do you play on the water's edge or do you play just up on the beach?
Yeah, so we play just on the beach, just on
Okay.
the sand, which makes it really fun because you can definitely, fall
Yeah.
and it won't hurt as much.
Yeah.
There's no tackling, but people get really competitive,
But
which
can't you see
is always very
be kind
fun.
of like run into the ocean to avoid people or not
Yeah.
by fire, but just like wherever I was in Dominican Republic with a bunch of guys from our university graduation trip, we played beach football. I think it was full tackle because we were young and whatever.
Yeah.
We were tackling each other, into the ocean and stuff like that, but not deep, obviously, but it was fun. But yeah. So soccer, do you head the long war or do you advise your teammates not to, or do you do anything like that, or do you avoid?
I avoid heading. I've always not loved it, so I always try and avoid it. And every time I see someone go up for one, I'm breathing deep,
Yeah.
but it's part of the game, which makes it a little difficult to advise against it.
Yeah.
But I think if you can do it safely, it's a bit better. But
Yeah.
because we only play very limited and we don't practice, so we're not heading every day like I used to. It's definitely difficult. I try and avoid it. And every time I see someone go up, especially when two people go up, I'm kind of holding my breath to see.
Do you practice beach flag football? Do you
I
practice?
don't. No, that's just games. Yeah. So we just
No,
kind of get together
it'd be
and
fun
play for
though.
fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun, especially, I played sports my whole life, so that's
Yeah.
something that I really, really enjoy
I can
and always try
see.
and have time for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So does your sister still play soccer or any other sports? Does she's not involved in sports?
Yeah, so she still plays soccer sometimes, and she also got into a couple other sports as well. She's been very lucky and fortunate to not have suffered any, real long-term
Yeah.
injuries with it, but she definitely is very wary and doesn't head the ball or go in as hard as she used to
Yeah.
anymore.
Guess you're not as competitive or like
It's
the league season.
definitely tricky, but she tries
Yeah.
to remember herself that it's for
Yeah.
fun now, so
Yeah. So what's next for Vistendo and for oh well, we got some basic info about your company. So how many employees do you have, or how many board members or that I've seen you've got a lot of impressive board members or chairs or advisory boards. So if you wanted to mention anything that's or what's coming up and your board itself, if that's or not necessarily a board, but like saying what you're anticipating doing or are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're about 10 employees now. We've expanded quite a bit. Our partnerships and advisors is always very important to me, bringing in that medical expertise to really understand what's out there. So we've partnered not only with Johns Hopkins University, but doctors from Emory, Stanford, USC. We work with, of course,
Both
experts.
sides of the country.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And we work with experts with the FDA as well, making sure we're following all the guidelines there as well. We have engineers from Caltech and Berkeley and all that. So we try and expand and get expertise from every single area that we can to really understand you know, what work is being out there, how can we make sure that, you know, our technology that we're creating is going to have the biggest help and the biggest impact. And really what's next for us is just, you know, finishing up this clinical study and getting our product ready to launch.
How's that going? How's your clinical study going? Like, how are the results you're getting from even your beta testing?
Yeah, it's been going very well. We're getting very good feedback, and you know, hopefully we can wrap that up later this year, if not next year, and you know, start to get our product out there in 2020, at the end of 2024, early 2025, possibly. And you know, we're also growing out our mobile app side as well, growing our expertise there to really help not only on the device side get the objective side, but really understand subjectively and have communication flow between the athletic trainer and athletes and parents and coaches to make sure that everyone's up to date on these injuries and really understand, yeah, you know, what the athlete is going through.
Yeah.
Without the athlete having that responsibility, which is very difficult for them. So, you know, we're launching that as well. And yeah, just growing and yeah, hopefully going commercial soon and nice, working to make a bigger impact. Yeah.
Yeah, I think like I know for my sponsor, Hitchick Health, who's in Vancouver, do a lot of like this, like the mobile apps. By themselves do a lot to increase vigilance among players, among coaches, parents, any staff, athletic trainers, like any staff. I think vigilance is something that's hard to really train or to, but it's so important, as you were saying before, that just if you know about it, if you can understand the severity of brain injuries, and if you recognize that they're important, then you'll be more likely to, you know, tell the truth. Hopefully, they'll tell the truth to your doctors anyway, but, you know, you'll be more likely to not want to hide anything. But finally, where can people find out more about this? And I'm sure people want to find out more about this, Sandow. So how do they do that?
Yeah, so you can definitely check out our website, thestendo.com, and we're also on LinkedIn and Facebook. And, you know, if we're always looking to talk to as many people as we can that are related to this industry, if you've suffered from a concussion or, you know, you specialize in this field, so feel free to reach out to us also at our email, which is info@vestendo.com.
Great. Well, that sounds perfect, because, I mean, I'm so happy that you reached out to me and I eventually returned your message, but it was a great timing. So thank you so much. And I said as well, please stay. I'm going to say goodbye now to all these fine people who are listening and watching on YouTube. But so thank you, and I'll see you again in a few weeks or next week. But I'll ask.
Yeah.
Well, thanks stay, for having me. Around. Well, thank you. And
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.